Let's unpack how sin twists even God's good commands into opportunities for rebellion, and how union with Christ sets believers free to bear real spiritual fruit. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you are having a fabulous day today, because Jesus is on the throne. God is bringing us hope, and he is moving us through this time. It is such interesting times that we are living in. We are in our series called Sin in My Life, and today we're going to talk about sin taking opportunity. If you are enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app. And if you are a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, I want to say thank you so very much. Your monthly support of $5, $10, $20, whatever it might be, is very, very helpful as we move forward in changing hearts so that we can change the public square. So let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 4 through 8. We're going to actually go through verse 12. But as we read this, we're going to read an overview and then go back and break it down. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Say amen. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been raised from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity, right there is our main idea, taking an opportunity through the commandment deceived me, and through it killed me. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. All right, so that's our verses for today. So let's break it down. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. So here's our first section. And we were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, we were made to die to the law. In other words, the law would be the very measurement that God would use at the judgment seat. When we stand before him, he's going to use that law and he's going to look at it. If you are not found in Jesus Christ, what's going to happen is you're going to see if you're perfect. And if you're not perfect in every aspect of the law, then you will receive condemnation and judgment from God and punishment from God. However, if you have the blood of Jesus Christ over your heart, over your life, over your mind, then you will stand justified before God. Now, this is not self-righteousness or self-justification. This is justification based upon the Messiah paying the price for your sins. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins and resurrecting again. So you are made to die to the law through the body of Christ. And then it says, so that you might be joined to another, to him who raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So we are joined to Jesus Christ. Powerful, 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 powerful. If you are a believer in Jesus and you're walking into that workplace today, you are joined to Christ. You are one with Christ, and you are to bear fruit that pleases and honors and glorifies God. Think about that for a moment. God has called you to bear fruit today, whether that be emotional, like love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control, whether that be salvation, baptizing and asking people to come to repentance and seeing what God does, whether that be in your attitudes, having the attitude of Christ, whether that be in your thinking, put on the mind of Christ, whether that's in your clothing, clothe yourself with Christ, whatever it might be. We are to bear fruit for God. He says, "For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death." So you may not be familiar with that phrase, "while we were in the flesh." Before you surrender to Jesus Christ and by faith through grace come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, we are only in our flesh. Our soul, our inner man, is fleshly. And so there is no Spirit of the living God living inside of us. So while we are in the flesh, okay, and we which were aroused by the law, we experience or bear fruit of what? Death. So the unbeliever can only bear fruit that leads to death, even if it seems like good works. You say, why? Well, it may be pleasing now. It may be somewhat acceptable now. It may be somewhat, quote unquote, loving now. But the reality is they haven't fulfilled the law. And you say, well, what do you mean? They haven't loved God. If they're an unbeliever, they have not loved God through the blood of Jesus Christ. They've broken law number one. They may have attempted to love their neighbor, but truly you can't love your neighbor without loving God first. So they're at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. For while we were in the flesh, sinful passions were aroused by the law, and they were at work in our members of our body. So that whole idea of sinful passions, our fleshly desires that we have going on inside of us, the desire to worship something other than God, the desire to build multiple gods into our life, the lucky charm type of God. And so we see that we can find places in our life where we have all done this and we bear fruit towards death. Now, Romans 7:6 says, "But now we have been released from the law, having died that by which we were bound." So this is an old phrase, but we used to say, hey, are you born again? Are you born again? And people would be like, what? Well, when we die in our flesh, when we die in this body to ourselves by repentance and turning to God. And in Romans 6, it says about baptism, that we're baptized into Christ's death. Aren't we also baptized into his resurrection? So think about this. You have to die, spiritually die, and say, Lord, no more. It's not my spirit. I receive your spirit inside of me, the Holy Spirit versus the fleshly spirit, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So we're not here going to save ourselves. Our self-righteousness is as filthy rags to God, and God will never be pleased with us trying to justify ourselves or trying to find our own way to heaven, or like those bumper stickers that have all those symbols and they say all paths lead to God. No. There's one path. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father except through him. And that's why he says, but now we've been released from the law. Now, that is not released to break the law. This is very important. So many Christians, well, that means I can do whatever I want. That means I can, God's grace, that's cheap grace. We're not released to break the law. We're released from the law. So we want to honor and glorify God. We keep his commandments. We love God. We love others. Having died to that by which you were bound. So you were once bound to that law. You know, it's like those school zones that we come across as we're driving. And I don't know how about you, but it is so hard to go 20 miles per hour in a school zone. And you're like, why? Why is that? I mean, 25, you're like, okay, I can do that. You know, 23, I can do that. But to actually attempt to go 20 miles per hour, it's like you're crawling. And the law of the 20 miles per hour is right there exposing you. and it's showing you. So before Christ, you may have done that so that you would earn your way to heaven. You're like, I'm going to hit 20 miles per hour no matter what. And so you go 20 and you're doing it to try to please God. And God goes, mm-mm, nope, that doesn't please me. But when you've come to know Christ, are you bound to that law any longer? No, you're not bound to it as if you're going to be judged on judgment day over it. So you say, well, now I'm going to go 100 miles per hour through it. No, because that wouldn't glorify God. Because if you ran over a kid, you wouldn't be loving your neighbor. And God has asked you to obey those things. And so now you go 20 miles per hour, not because you're trying to earn your way to heaven, but because you love God and you want to bring him glory. You want people to say, look at that driver. He's not doing that for religious practices. He's doing that to bring glory and honor to God. So you've died to that by which you were once bound, so that we serve in the newness of the Spirit. Today is a day that you get to serve in the newness of the Spirit, not the old letter of the law. You get freedom today to honor and glorify God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Risen Savior. You get to glorify him today. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? So they're saying, wait a minute. If I'm not bound to the law, doesn't that make the law sin? Is 20 miles per hour, you know, that must be sinful then. May it never be, or God forbid. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. So the 20 miles an hour, in essence, is, it's almost like it's neutral in one sense, but it's also holy in another sense, right? So we see that this law that God has given us is a good thing. It's holy to God. It's righteous to God. For I would not have been able to know about coveting if the law had showed me, you shall not covet. And this is where God's written his laws upon our heart. This is how all of mankind has known, all throughout all of history, has known certain things are out of bounds. There are certain people groups today that want to say that that's oppressive language, and that, you know, nothing is out of bounds. I'm free to do whatever I want to do. But here's the thing. If we all go down that road or that path, then what happens when your freedom comes and takes away one of my freedoms? Who's right? See, there's boundaries that God places on love. There's boundaries that God places on coveting possessions, property, you might say. He puts a boundary on there. He says, no, don't touch that. So he says, what? Is the law sin? He put the most strong answer in there. No, it's not. That the law is our plumb line to lead us to Christ. But sin taking the opportunity through the commandment produced in me coveting of every kind. So sin, disobedience to God, takes an opportunity through the commandment. Again, going back to that 20-mile-per-hour school zone, you might be driving through one right now, but it's like your sin nature can sometimes justify going a lot faster. Because that law, that sign that says slow down, or the blinking light that says slow down, is producing coveting of all kind inside of you. It sin takes this opportunity through the commandment produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. So it's that plumb line. It's that holiness, that righteousness that God has. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. Think about that. When you start understanding what honors and glorifies God, and if you've been listening to our podcast here each and every day, you're growing in your knowledge of God's word. And so you start understanding what glorifies and honors God, you begin to walk in life once again. Verse 10, and the commandment which was to result in life proved to me death for me. So for sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. Sin takes an opportunity through the commandments to deceive us. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So the commandment and the law are both holy, righteous, and good. So what's our application today? Are you allowing God's word to point out your sin? When's the last time that this word, the word of God, stepped into your heart, you studied it, and you're like, oh, I am not walking according to God's word? Are you repenting of your sin? Are you saying, God, you're right? Now, for the unbeliever, you need to repent so that you have salvation. For the believer, you are saved, and you're repenting because you want God just to clean you up just one more, and you want to glorify him and honor him. It's no longer salvation. It's because you love him. Are you walking in the Holy Spirit, and have you stood for righteousness today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your wonderful blessings of your word. God, we do pray that as we look into the sin in our lives, that you would convict us of every ounce of unholiness and unrighteousness, of anything that does not please and honor you. Would you open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to your word today, God? Preach to us the whole counsel of your word, God. Let us not just cherry pick the areas we like, but let us really be convicted by the Holy Spirit on what you would have for us. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We do pray over the public square. We do pray over the legislative session. We pray that you would begin, God, to do a mighty work in the hearts of our legislators. These hundreds upon hundreds of bills that are not good for our neighbor or the common good, that drive up housing costs, that drive up energy costs, that drive up income, you know, they're looking at income taxes, all this kind of stuff, God, it's not good for our state. And so, God, we ask that you would give wisdom to our legislators, give boldness to the majority party right now. Let them surrender to you, God. God, let them turn to you. God, we pray for the minority party, God, that you would use them mightily right now in the name of Jesus with courage and strength and the ability to be strategic. But Lord, we just know that if our hearts don't change, nothing else will change. So would you change our hearts, oh God, make them ever true. Change our hearts, oh God, may we be like you. God, we need you. God, you are our potter. We are the clay. Shape us and mold us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you in your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.